Brian, praise the Lord. Good to see you here tonight.
Still January 1st, thankful for that. And no school tomorrow. Hallelujah. Excellent. Praise the Lord. We'll be back Tuesday. Tuesday is Crazy Christmas. We missed it on last Friday. And so gave you a little extra length and break. But we'll come back to our Crazy Christmas, last day of our Spirit Week. And also, your verses are due by noon. So if you don't know your verses, make sure you get them done. Mrs. Bear, are you close? I knew it. You're right there. Very good. Hudson, what's the passage? What are you memorizing? Do you remember? No. Do you remember, Lydia? Isaiah 53, the whole chapter. For you guys, 1 through 7. Who has the whole chapter? All right. Did you get them done? You said them. You have credit for them. The sticker on your star chart. All right. Very good. John chapter number 1. Praise the Lord. Say, Pastor, how long is this series? As long as it takes. I don't know. Maybe Jesus will come back. But I'm glad you're here for part 1. We'll see who's here for part 52. And we'll try and keep you engaged throughout. We'll not teach the entire book tonight. We're going to space it out over a number of weeks. Thankful for, again, the Word of God. The book of John is one of the most beloved books of the entire Bible. A new creature in Christ, probably, unless they're making a decision of assurance of salvation, where they know the Word of God, if they don't know the Word of God, the first book I send them to is the book of John. What about Genesis? Read John. It's going to tell you a lot. Not the Genesis. You shouldn't read Genesis. Hey, if someone wants to jump into Genesis, so be it. But there's something special about the book of John. John is written by the beloved, probably the closest disciple to Christ. John's attention throughout this book is Jesus Christ. Say, how do you know that? He doesn't even mention his own name in the entire book. Nowhere will you find John. You'll find John the Baptist, but not the Apostle John. He'll reference himself a couple times as the apostle whom Jesus loved. But he'll not use his own name. Why? Because the book of John is a unique perspective in that Jesus Christ is God. He wants to give all glory to God. And that's what makes this book special. Not that other books don't do that, but the Gospel of John is something special. It is a heartfelt book. That means it appeals to our emotions. Half the book is the last week of Christ's life. Half of it. We see and feel the rejection of Christ experienced from those who refuse to believe on him. We feel the pain of parting friends. We experience the pain of death. We see the fear of the disciples in the garden. We see the care between John and Jesus. It's an emotional book. You'll read it, and if you really get in there, you'll, as crazy as it sounds, you'll feel it. John, throughout his writings, has a perspective, and it starts right at the beginning, but John proves the deity of Christ. That's a word maybe young people aren't too familiar with. I'll help you with it. Jesus Christ is God. And that is the perspective that we're going to look at through the book of John. From verse 1 all the way to the end, the perspective is Jesus Christ is God. Say, isn't that a fact? It's absolutely fact. You know, there's a group of people out there that don't say believe that. Say, what are they called? Wrong. That's what they're called. And all throughout this, we're going to see throughout this book, as we study it, we're going to see his seven titles of deity. But we're going to see Christ as presented as the Lord. It's going to be repetitive in that thought. But we're going to see a lot of reinforcement of that thought. So let's read verse 1 and then we'll start our study here tonight. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book. Lord, we thank you for your Word that you've recorded for us that we can know about you. And God, thank you for the Gospel of John, the unique perspective, giving you your glory and honor. Lord, I pray that as we study these verses and thoughts throughout the weeks, maybe months, God, you would give us a deeper appreciation for who you are. Lord, we love you. We need you. We so appreciate your mercy and your grace. God, we're thankful for the good singing tonight. God, it's good to lift up your name. Lord, you have all power. Lord, I pray that you meet with us here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Matthew starts with a lineage. Luke has a lineage. Mark does not. John, we're not told of the birth. We don't see a manger. There's no shepherds. There's no kings from the east. No, we start at the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Thankful for our King James Bible. We don't teach or bring it up a lot. I don't feel the need to. But you read other versions and it doesn't say that. It'll say something: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Takes away his deity. Thankful for the King James Bible, written as how it should be. In the beginning. Say, when was that? A long time ago. Look at, hold your hand in John, chapter number 1. Go to 1 John, same author. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Referencing again the beginning of Christ. The beginning. He was there at that time. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 1. A familiar writing also. Familiar words to us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Later on, we will read in Genesis, he says, let us make man in our image. Christ was at the beginning. Although he was born in Luke chapter number 2, he was at the beginning of this all. Christ is eternal. Christ is God. And this verse here alone, in the beginning was the Word, reveals the eternity of Christ back in John chapter number 1. He is given a title, the Word. The Word. In John chapter number 1, look at verse 14. John 1:14 says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father. Look at what Christ holds, and we'll look at this next week, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Hey, isn't that exactly what we read? Hey, we read that this morning. Here's the truth. Don't disobey. Yeah, but we want to disobey. Okay, now you have this consequence. Please forgive us. And what does God do? He forgives. God is grace and truth. Thankful for that. When Christ showed up, he was grace and truth personified. He was the Word made flesh. That capital W references the reference to God himself. This was a title given to Jesus. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. In verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. 1 John 5, 7. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You talk to a Jehovah Witness and you show them that verse, you know what they say? That verse doesn't belong in your Bible. Well, isn't that convenient, brother? For someone that wants to take away the deity of Christ, sure enough, that verse wouldn't belong in my Bible. But it's there. And there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Again, a title given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation 19. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. In John chapter number 1, as we read back there, in the beginning was the Word. This was a title given to Christ. It is through words that God reveals himself to man. Words are the most definitive means of communication. There's three different ways of communication: oral, spoken word. Ever hear someone tell a story, and then they tell the same story again, but some of the details slightly changed? Like the fish got a little bit bigger. You understand what I'm talking about? Those are spoken words. Those are oral words. We also have written words. In your lap, you're holding the written Word of God. There's another form of communication through pictures. If I showed you a picture and with no words, you can formulate an opinion, a thought, an idea from that. But words bring definition. Pictures are abstract. It's ever go to a museum and you see people and they're looking at like a bunch of colors. I'm not big on abstract art. I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm uncultured. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, there's like a blue streak and a white streak with a little orange circle and people are like, isn't that amazing? Isn't that powerful? It's like, it looks like a kindergartner did that, you know? Like I like Norman Rockwell. I like the detail. I like the emotions in pictures and things like that. But people look at that and go, "Oh, it just speaks to me." I don't know. I don't see it. That's me. I don't see it. I'm missing it, right? And if you like that stuff, that's great. Enjoy that. But there is communication via visual pictures. But words bring definition. See, we're not subject to oral traditions concerning the story of Christ. Nor confined to wordless photographs, not at all. No, quite the opposite. It is recorded by words that he is the Christ. And he became word to even further define things for us. Isn't that what it said? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He manifested, God manifested himself to better define him. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, it says this: "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." The Word is the title given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has many titles, over 200. In 1 John chapter number 2, we can just start alphabetically and just go right through. 1 John 2:1, he's called the Advocate. In Revelation 1:8, he's the Almighty. In Revelation 1:8, he's the Alpha and Omega. And Psalm 2:2, he's the Anointed. And Hebrews 12:2, he's the author and finisher of our faith. And we can go right through. In the beginning, tells us when it all started, Christ was there. The Word, a title given to him. And then it says this: "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This will, as I said, will be a theme throughout our book. Hey, little people, I want you to get a hold on this and understand this. Jesus Christ is God. say, oh, that's so obvious. Not to everybody. Jesus Christ is God. Look at a couple of these verses here. Look at Colossians chapter number 2 tonight. Colossians chapter number 2. Look at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, who? Christ. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hey, those are strong words. Say, what does that mean? Jesus Christ had all the power of God when he walked this earth. Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. Look at verse 8. But under the sun he saith, thy throne, O God. You see that? Let's read that again. Hebrews 1:8. This is awesome stuff. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. They connected the Son with God forever and ever. They said his throne would be forever. God only can have a throne forever. Yes, Jesus Christ is God. Go back to John chapter number 1. In verse 2. Look at that. 10 minutes. Verse 1. Easy. Maybe a little longer. Verse 2 and 3. We'll read these together. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. There's a direct connection between verse 1 and verse 3. Turn with me, again, holding John chapter number 1. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. That's powerful. Again, we'll read that verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Psalm 33 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews chapter number 1. How did God make everything? He just spoke it. Man. That's cool to me. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Colossians chapter number 1. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1, look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Who is it talking about? Christ. And he is the head of the church, or head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It's talking of Jesus. All things were made by him. I told Joe this, I think, yesterday or last night. It is difficult to comprehend one who can create the universe, but yet do it so effortlessly. He just spoke it, and it was. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So let us remember that. I mean, can we just fast forward 20 chapters? 18 chapters when they're beating Christ, when they're nailing him to the cross, when they're saying, why don't you get yourself down? Do you know how much power he had? Just in his words alone. Jesus Christ was the strongest man ever lived. Why? Because of what he held back. Verse 4. John chapter 1 and verse 4. We'll make it through verse 8 tonight, Lord willing. Barring the rapture. That'd be great. What were you doing? I was talking about you. John chapter 1, verse 8. In him was life, and life was the light of men. There are a few things more disturbing to a child than darkness. So how do you know? Because we have nightlights all throughout our house. From their bedrooms to the bathrooms. Bathrooms are strategic because we want accuracy. But darkness is scary. Some of you adults still have a nightlight. And that's fine. I mean, you're allowed to. As being a child, being afraid of the dark, sleeping with the nightlight on, afraid of... Why is darkness so scary? The same objects in there. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 12. He says this about himself. Then spake Jesus again unto them, John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When I go back to John chapter number 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and life was the light of men. Christ brought light to darkness. In John chapter number 12, let's go through a couple of these verses. John chapter 12 and verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Hey, there's no fear in the Lord. There's light. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful he's opened up my eyes to some things. Oh, you're so smart. No, no. I just have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that brings light to some subjects. Why are so many people just so confused about how this world should run? Because they don't have Christ. Hey, the solution to all political problems and world problems is Jesus. 1 John chapter number 1, go back there again. 1 John 1. I know we're looking at a lot of verses, but 1 John 1, 5 says this. This then is the message which ye have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Why do so many reject the light? Because it reveals sin. Hey, Christ gets involved in your life. He's going to shed some light on some things that maybe you've been trying to hide, or maybe keep away from him, or try and do in the shadows of life. And God says, hey, with me, there is no darkness. It's all light. You can't hide anything from me. That's who he is. There's no darkness in Christ. Many reject the light because it reveals sin. And unfortunately, they'd rather live in darkness. But he is the light of men. But he's also the life of men. No one ever died in the presence of Christ. Nobody. John chapter 19. Verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. You understand that the other two on either side of the cross couldn't have died with Christ in the presence. By the time they got there, he was already gone. Hebrews chapter number 9. He is the life of men. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. 9:15, Hebrews 9:15. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Here, what do we have? We have Christ dying, bringing in. When did the New Testament start? With the death of Christ. With the death of Christ. And that brought life. John chapter 11. Now, if you're in Sunday school and your Sunday school teacher says, what's the first book of the New Testament? Your answer is Matthew. All right? Don't get all technical on your teacher and be like, pastor said that it's not till, you know, don't be throwing out Acts chapter 1. All right? Got it? All right, good. All right. John chapter 11, verse 21. John chapter 11 is about Lazarus. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. True. Because no one dies in the presence of Christ. John chapter 14. Just a couple pages later. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, ye may be also. The promise of not just life, but eternal life. Around Christ, no one ever died. You understand, we're going to have an opportunity to be with him forever. You know what that means? We're never going to die. Because if around Christ, he's life, then if we spend eternity with him, there's life forever. John chapter number 1. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Light shines in darkness. You understand, light always defeats darkness. Light always defeats darkness. If we were tonight, just for fun, turn out the lights. And say, man, I hope the light wins. I hope when we turn the lights on, the darkness goes away. Well, certainly every single time. I mean, unless the power's out. And then it's no fun, Brother Sutliff. But light always defeats darkness. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light is a spiritual term. Go with me to John chapter 3 and verse 19. John 3:19 says this, and this is the condemnation that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Is he actually talking about having the lights off and sitting in a dark room? No. It's a spiritual term. Could we substitute in place of darkness, rather, men love their sin. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Ever get a sliver? Man, those are a pain. Literally, right? You got a piece of stick in your skin. What do? You go get a light and you're like, all right, here we go. I need light, and I got the light, and I get my bifocals on, right? I'm looking through the lower lens, and I'm trying to, why? Because I want to try and find something. Hey, why do people hide from God? Why do they keep away from the Lord? Unless their sins are reproved, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Hey, you want to live in honesty? I was talking to a gentleman this past week, and he's living in untruth. Oh, Pastor, I don't know what to do. He's fretting over because he's living a lie. That's rough. I suggested, why don't you just tell the truth? Well, the consequences, this is better? This is how you want to live? But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, the devil will convince you, you can't come to the Lord. You can't be open and honest with God. You can't open up your heart. You can't let the light of Christ in. Why? Because then you'll be exposed and everybody will know. And Christ says, I'll take care of you. He wants honesty. He wants openness. He wants truth. He wants light. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Go with me back to John chapter number 1. We're introduced to a new character. And he is a character. His name's John the Baptist. He sounds like a good guy, you know. Kind of have ties to him. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. As we saw when we went through Christmas time, his announcement was divine. Remember, Zacharias couldn't speak. John was a wild man, though. Look with me to Matthew chapter number 3. This is a unique individual. There's certain individuals that if you ever met, you know you met. You know, like, I don't know how to say it nicely, so I will be careful. But they have a very strong personality. And if you met them, you just know. Like, no one's like, well, I don't know if I ever met that person. Oh, no, you'd know. I don't know if I ever met John the... Oh, you know if you met John the Baptist. If you ran into John the Baptist at the Walmart or, you know, wherever, you'd know. Say, how? Let's read these few verses. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Here comes this crazy guy coming out of the wilderness preaching Jesus and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Say, I bet he was a normal guy. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Look at him. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. You say amen, but have you ever mixed honey and animal fur? That don't go, brother. This guy's walking out of the middle of the wilderness, repents, dressed in camel fur with locusts and honey stuck to his hand. This dude's crazy. And he was sent by God. Sent by God. Eating grasshoppers dipped in honey. I guess if you're going to eat grasshoppers, might as well dip them. Or charity. Ketchup. Ketchup and grasshoppers. Yeah. But you know what he was willing to do? He was willing to stand for God's word. You know, there's many of faithful pastors that will never be written about, never have a book said of them, never asked to preach before large crowds, but just faithful. John was a powerful leader. He developed a core of disciples who were loyal to him. And he was a Christian leader, a Christian man sent by God. That phrase, sent by God, is very important. Sent from God, it says. You know, you can grow up in a good house, Christian family and be around all this. But to do the work of the Lord, you need to be sent from the Lord. Something special about that. You can possess great gifts and abilities, but you must be sent by God. You could even raise 100% of your support, but you must be sent by God. Martin Luther was called before the Diet of Worms to recant his writings. He was bold in his writings against the Catholic Church. A former priest himself, he boldly declared this statement: "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and by plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe." He said this: "Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me, amen." Whew. What's that? That's John the Baptist. That's a guy that just, "I'm going to stick with the Word and just go with it." That was John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He came to bear witness of that light. It is sad that on a bright sunny day, it is needed to tell people that the sun is shining. But that's what John the Baptist had to do. Say, why is that? Because there's a God of this world that hath blinded the hearts and minds of men. And there needs to be one that proclaims the truth of the Word of God, to bear witness of the light. And you too can do that in Acts chapter 19 tonight. Our final verse. Acts chapter 19. Bearing witness. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism, Acts 19:4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And that should be our message today. You know, back in John chapter 1, it says this: he came to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. John wasn't trying to get followers. He was trying to get people to follow Christ. John was clear: I am not that light, but I am here to bear witness of the light. Hey, you're not the light. The best thing you can do is to help people see the light of Christ. Bring people out of the darkness to Christ. So who are you bringing? Who are you pointing to Christ with your life? Who are you reaching? If this crazy guy can come out of the wilderness dressed in camel hair with honey and locusts stuck to his fingers, surely, with the Word of God and the light of Christ, we can help others come to Christ. That's our challenge tonight. This week, may we get a little bit of the boldness of John the Baptist and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if he's who he says he is, then we ought to tell everybody. It's not about me. We're here to bear witness of that light, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. May I encourage you, may I plead with you to be a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand, we'll be dismissed tonight. This morning we had a call to be committed to our faith. Tonight, may we have that same call to be committed to our witness. That's what Christ told us when he left, that ye shall be witnesses. That's what he comes back, that's what he ought to find us doing. Hey, it's one thing to be watching for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all in favor, 100%. He could come back today, Lydia. But while we're waiting, we ought to be faithful witnesses. Do you have gospel tracts on you? Are you ready to share the gospel? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thankful for the light that shines in darkness. Lord, thank you for the victory over darkness, over sin. Lord, as your child, I'm so thankful for that. Thankful for the truth. God, I pray that you'd help us to be bold witnesses for you this week, for your honor and glory. God, you'd be pleased. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night. If we could get a couple people to